B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics by two. Lowry will trigger the inbound. The Raptors do not have a timeout. 5 tenths remaining. Van Vliet is on the floor. So is Siakam, Anunoby, and Gasol. Lowry has it. 5 second count begins. Taco guarding the inbound. Lowry lobs it all the way across court. Anunoby gets it away for the game, and he got it. OG Anunoby beats the clock and the Celtics in game three.
Wow. All by himself on the backside. Nobody was near.
You obviously have to look at it, but from the naked eye, it seemed like he got it off.
Moving on the floor is a successful field goal.
He did.
The Toronto Raptors.
And the heart of a champion. They go for the win and they get it. How did Kyle Lowry even see him over Taco? Jaylen Brown came to challenge, but he was too late. And the series we all hoped this would be, it finally has become.
Wow.
Just a miscommunication. That's really all what happened. At the end of the day, you know, we just got to be better as a unit. Regardless of what we was in, you know, we had to guard the three-point line. So that was just a disgrace at the end of the game. That was just terrible. You know, no way we should have lost that game. You know, I take responsibility for that, not just that play, but, you know, a lot of the plays before. It happens. It's the NBA playoffs. Either you know, let them gain momentum, or you come back and be ready to play next game.
All right, where'd you think we were going to begin? It's an agenda-free Friday. It's driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose some new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Agenda-free Friday. We have no agenda. It is all set by your wonderful telephone calls. It's Felger here in the remote A-hole chair location. We have Marshall Hook in the Mavs chair and Matt McCarthy, McTakey, in the update studios. Fellas, how you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Positively delightful. Thank you.
Okay. We are peachy. Thank you so much. Enough of the pleasantries. We basically throw it open to you and whatever you want to talk about. The phone lines are open now, and I want to know who to blame for that final play. Who to blame? Okay. Hook, on this program, we don't tip our cap and say they executed it perfectly and they just made a good play. No, no. We look at our side and say, who effed up and why? All you hoopologists, all you experts out there, I've heard all sorts of different things now. You know, Scal blamed Jaylen Brown in the post game. Jaylen Brown, who you just heard right there, seemed to take responsibility. I heard Arkan just blaming Tice. I know Gasper and others are pointing the finger at Jason Tatum. Who screwed up and why? 617-779-0985. While those are populating, some quick opening takes. Hook, I want to start with you because you want to pick up on that thing that Jaylen Brown just said. Either that loss gets to them, or you brush it off and you come back for the next one, and it's just another loss. It doesn't matter. What do you think it is?
I am thoroughly pleased with the way he handled it at the end. I like anger because, you know, we talk about gut punch games, these games where you think it's going to go one way and then just like in a second, and in that case, a literal half second, it goes from a win, you're up 3-0, you're essentially advancing, to you lost this game and you've let Toronto back into the series. It just, he came out and you can either be angry about it or you can be despondent. The teams that are despondent, the players that just sit there with their head between their hands and they're sad and they can't believe what's going on, those are the teams that I think are out of it. But the way Jaylen Brown was furious, he basically was furious. He sat there, and every time you thought he was done talking about his fury and his anger about it, he'd come back and say it again and again. I think three times he used expletives and talked about how angry he was about it. That, to me, is a player who's going to play angry and come out tomorrow night and be pissed off. That's what I want from that. Because, again, you have two choices at that point. You can be angry or you can be sad. Angry, to me, tells me it's a team that's going to be able to bounce back. And honestly, that, to me, is leadership from him. And I don't know what Jason Tatum had to say last night, but I'll bet you it didn't sound like that. It didn't sound angry. And that's what I don't think we would see from him. So I'm all for it. I think that they're going to bounce back just fine if he's any indication.
Okay, it's an interesting question because Brown's response was strong. You know, is he taking the loss too hard? Is it possible that loss left a big mark and does let Toronto back into the series? And the Celtics' devastation sort of speaks to that? Or is it what Hook's talking about? They're not disconsolate. Is that how you pronounce that? Disconsolate? Yep. Whatever. They're angry and they want to atone for it. So good thing or bad thing? 617-779-0985. My opening take and what I want to hit on a little later on, we didn't do any of it yesterday, is some Bruins stuff. Zdeno Chara says he wants back. Torrey Krug says he wants to make a lot of money. I got thoughts on both, whether they will be back, whether they should be back. That's going to come up in a little bit. But I want to get to your reaction first, and I want to get to McTakey's opening take first as well. What do you got, Matt?
Well, I thought the Patriots lied to us about this quarterback competition. All right? There was no competition here. That competition ended on June 28th when Cam Newton was signed. And yesterday they announce in the team meeting and they leak out to the media that Cam Newton has been announced as the starter. The problem is that implies that there was any legitimate competition in the first place, and there wasn't. That's a complete falsehood. So what I want to know is why did the Patriots keep up this charade for 68 days? They signed Cam Newton 68 days ago. Why did they keep up this charade? And the only answer I can come to, Mike, is that they had to. They had to. Because they spent all offseason to us lying about Jarrett Stidham. So one little white lie leads to another. The Patriots spent the entire offseason, hell, even before the offseason, blowing smoke up our butts about Jarrett Stidham. Stid the kid. He's ready to take over for Tom Brady. He's the heir apparent. All right, we don't need a quarterback in the draft. We have Jarrett Stidham. We don't need a free agent quarterback. We have Jarrett Stidham. Oh, but one shook loose, so we're going to sign him, and we're going to have this competition, right? Those are all lies, all right? They're lies, they're falsehoods, they're misleading. By faking a quarterback competition, which is what the Patriots just did, and what Bill Belichick is still doing, by the way, did you hear him saying we're not naming any starters? It's completely ridiculous. You just named a starter.
We'll hear that in a
minute. All right. Yep. So by faking a quarterback competition, to me, it deflects some of the criticism away from the Patriots for blowing smoke up our butts about Jarrett Stidham. Because you're not going to criticize the Patriots, right, if... Well, Cam Newton just comes in here and he wins the job on merit. Well, he was just better. He won the job on merit. No. He didn't win the job on merit. He won the job when he was signed because they didn't believe in Stidham, and rightfully so. So this is why they've had this charade for 68 days about some type of quarterback competition to kind of deflect away the criticism that they deserve for their lack of a plan at quarterback and for blowing smoke up our butts again about Jarrett Stidham. So I think this thing was a sham the whole way, and it was nothing more than just kind of a cover-up for the way they mismanaged the departure of Tom Brady and the future of the quarterback position.
Okay, the charade of their starting quarterback competition, which continued today, as McTakey alluded to. You'll hear that sound coming up. One of the items on the board for an agenda-free Friday. I want to start by asking you, who do I blame last night for that loss? Derek in Providence, go ahead.
How's it going, guys? I'll try to keep this short and sweet for you. I know you got other things to get to, but obviously, Jaylen Brown, I think, is to blame. He admitted himself. There was miscommunication there. You could see it. But the other two people that really need to own up to it, what is Stevens doing playing zone in that situation, for one? And two, the reason why Jaylen Brown, I believe, was underneath the basket was because he was helping the other guy who was at fault, which is Tice, because he's been getting bullied since they came back a month and a half ago. You know, I mean, he got taken out 13 seconds into a game against Philly just a couple weeks ago, and he was getting beat up by guards. Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet. I mean, he's
okay. You're just giving me too much now. I'm blaming Stevens for playing zone. I'm blaming Brown for not getting out there. I'm blaming Tice for not switching or what? So you gave me too much. I don't need three. I need one. Who do you blame, McCarthy?
Jaylen Brown. That's his man. He needs to be over there. He was way too far away. I blame Jaylen Brown.
Okay, give me one. John in Westford. Go ahead, John. Who do I blame for last night?
No, you got to put. Thanks, Mike, for me on. You got to blame Brad on that. Why wasn't Brown manned up on the corner there to OG? It doesn't make any sense to me. The announcer said they're playing zone. How are you playing zone in that situation? You got five guys man up. You got screen at the top of the pick. How does that even happen? That makes no sense to me.
Let me tell you. Let me answer you why. And not that I'm, Mr. Hoophead here, but just reading. They often play that zone in those situations because it's supposed to cut down on the chances that you get screened or picked. So if you're running, if you're playing man-to-man and chasing guys around, you're more susceptible to getting screened or picked off Van Fleet or real shooter. And so when you play zone, you should be able to see those coming better. You even have Marcus Smart at the top of the key calling out the screens. And apparently not everybody heard, because Jaylen Brown still allowed himself to get screened by Gasol. And it felt like Tatum and Tice went to the same guy, and they sort of let OG go. And OG, I think, might have been the fourth option on that play, or fifth option. So this is why maybe he slipped under the radar as well. And so, you know, another thing that I read is that Nurse, maybe you give him a check mark here, because he knows they play that diamond zone. They know he plays zone in those situations and how they would react to that play. And he knew OG would be open in the, you know, so like did Stevens get outwitted there? Did Nurse get one up on him?
Absolutely, he did. 100%. That's a great play from Nick Nurse. That's a great pass from Kyle Lowry. I know you said we don't tip our cap. I'll tip my cap slightly on that. But the Celtics need to be better in that situation. And, Mike, I think you have to fault Brad Stevens for putting Taco Fall into that game. I'm sorry. That guy did not look comfortable at all. Didn't look comfortable one bit. Honestly looked shocked to be in the basketball game. Like, I get that he's like 8'2".
When he came in, I'm sorry to jump in. When you saw him, though, be honest. When you first saw him, you were glad to see him because, you know, he's such a great story and we love to see him.
Sure.
But wasn't there a little thing in your stomach that said, uh-oh, like, oh, this is, I don't know. When I saw him, I sat up a little bit straighter in my chair when I thought the thing was over and they had no shot. I saw Taco Fall. I said, oh,
but the guy only has one job in that, and honestly, it's to be tall. It's to be tall and hold your hands up. That was the only job required of the person guarding the inbounds pass. And is there anyone better at being tall on that team?
Did he look comfortable in that situation?
No, but he had one job.
He looked shocked. Well, he wasn't very good at his job.
Well, no, he did. I mean, he's whatever he is, 7 feet tall. He's not 9 feet tall. So he did what he could do, which was stand there and hold his hands up.
And
it just so happened the guy lobbed the ball over him.
And he looked uncomfortable. He looked like he had no idea where he needed to be.
He didn't even know to check into the game.
Right.
If you watch, he walked down to the court and some other player pointed back like, no, you got to go over to that table and check in.
So I don't blame him, but it's along those lines. Like, ooh, I don't know. So I'm not blaming anyone. It was just sort of a karma thing when I saw him. And Matt, I'm sorry to cut you off, but Hook, if we're not into doling out credit, but I'll just do it here in the 30 seconds we have left. And this is the only 30 seconds I'll give. The first thing is, I asked in the email, did anyone answer me? The clock stoppage on the made basket, on the Tice dunk with half a second left, how does that clock stop? Is that a timeout that's called? Or is there some rule in the NBA, like, you know, side out at center court, that the clock automatically stops? It's not. You have to call the timeout, right?
So,
or the clock's running.
I looked around and I couldn't find a definitive answer. So it's an assumption that the coach says, hey, listen, if they make it, we want a timeout. Like, it's something you do ahead of time. That's
okay,
my assumption, but I couldn't find the rule.
So, like I said, I'm not Mr. Hoop here. So, Mr. Hoop out there, like, Jones and Heifer, you know, run around naked with the basketballs cut off, you know, the half basketball on there. Someone tell me, email, text, whatever, tweet somebody, that clock stoppage, does Toronto have to call it in real time, boom? Do they tell the ref, made basket, immediate timeout? Or is there some sort of rule that they just stop it for a second after the ball goes through the rim? I want to know, because if you have to call the timeout in real time, I want to give credit to whoever did that on Toronto. You know, maybe that was Nurse again. You know, maybe he sees Tice going up for the dunk and immediately, boom, timeout. Because that half second saved them the game. So just someone answer me that question. And that pass. The pass is the second thing that I want to credit. Holy smokes, what a freaking pass. And I don't care whether Taco Fall was there or not. He chucked that thing, you know, whatever the width of a basketball court is, plus, what, 20 feet in the air? And go back, it landed right on OG's belt buckle. Like, it was right in the shooting position. That was an unbelievable pass. That's the credit that I want to give. McDakey, what was going to be your follow-up thought there?
Oh, God, that was so long ago, I forgot.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I took up too much. Why does that clock stop at half second? You know, and boy, that's getting fine, right? Remember when we were kids, Hook? I don't know if McDakey knows. He's too young. But when we were kids, they didn't have the tenths of a seconds. It just went from 1 to 0, right? And I do remember there was a time in the NBA where you would, you know, they would say, the commentator would say, Well, there's a second on the clock, but we don't know if it's 1.3 or 0.7. So I guess the tents have always been kept, but we didn't see them or something. And I just find that, boy, is that fine. Boy, is that, you are that close. You are that close. Half a second. One miss, you know, and it's not even one Mississippi. You are that close from 0-3, series over, you're on your way. And now you just gave life to a team that clearly gives a crap and clearly has a little bit of a winning quotient. Now, I don't think Toronto's as good as you. You still should win the series. But, boy, you were that close. Does that crawl inside your head? You know, back to Hook's point. Does that crawl inside your head? Or you brush it off. It's just a loss. 2-1 is 2-1. Doesn't matter if you lost like that or lost by 17. What do you think it's going to be? And who can I blame? Who can I blame? That's on the board. The Cam Newton stuff's on the board. We will get to the Bruins in a little bit. It's an agenda-free Friday. We're off and running. Back to your phones after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Morning, Bill.
Hey, Ben.
Word came out yesterday that Cam Newton was named the starter. Just what have you seen from him throughout camp? And what's
We're not naming any starters in any positions. So. You know, any conversations that I have with a team will stay between me and the team, but we're not naming any roster starters or positions or who's on the team or anything else like that. So, well, sorry, I have to bypass that one.
So that was Bill today. It's just silly. I don't know what he's. I mean, I do know. I can come up with a million reasons why he's doing it, and I'm sure the sheep out there will fill the air with their farts telling us, well, this is why Bill's Bill. But it's like, practically speaking, he tells the whole team in a team meeting or a quarterback meeting or tells the players that Cam Newton's the starter. Okay? So that gets out. And then the team confirms it to all the reporters. Okay? I'm pretty sure it's the team that's confirming it because all the beat guys, I think Jim McBride had it first on the Globe, and then everyone followed suit. The Herald confirmed, The Athletic confirmed, NBC Sports Boston confirmed, so the team confirmed it. Cam Newton sent out a Instagram thing, right? Do we have that? Can you throw that up on the simulcast? Where he basically says, he puts him in there with all the captains, so this is him being, I guess, announced captain. I guess he responded to the captain thing, not the starter thing. I guess you could say that. Because didn't he have a Instagram post that said, thanks for the opportunity, and you know, I'm paraphrasing there, I guess we don't have it on the simulcast. But
yeah, that's right, he did though.
So,
are there a lot of backup quarterbacks who are elected captains?
Yeah, great point. Great point, Hook. So what's the how is that going to help the Patriots beat the Dolphins? Again, oh, well, now Flores has to prepare for two. Do you really think that? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, so why does Bill play that game?
Well, I think the reason why he's playing it here, Mike, is he doesn't want the focus to be on the fact that they thought Jarrett Stidham was the guy, or they told us Jarrett Stidham was the guy, and he couldn't post. Or, you know, for whatever reason, they felt the need that they had to bring in somebody else. That's why this quarterback competition has been presented to us and shoved in our faces when we all know, everybody knew that there was no quarterback competition here, and Bill's still trying to keep that narrative going because it deflects criticism away from the fact that they didn't have a plan or their plan was really bad here.
Yeah, it's not that complicated. He's doing it just because right. That's what he does.
I agree.
And how dare you all suggest that we've made a decision when I've not come out and said we made that decision. And since I haven't said it and you asked about it, well, I'm not going to tell you that it doesn't exist. That decision hasn't been made. Who says that's been made? Not me. And if I haven't said it, then it hasn't been made.
It's just they'll admit it off the record. Like they're telling people off the record, obviously. They're telling people off the record. So he doesn't want it on tape? I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just one of those things that's like, you know, not that you wasted a lot of energy on this, but you wasted some. You wasted some part of your brain, some part of your day, saying, I'm going to tell all these guys off the record, but not on the record. And why? And then you had to think about it, and now there's whatever that took, 45 seconds or 45 minutes. I think that is wasted time because it's just nonsense. Nonsense.
I mean, to me,
they're telling all the reporters off the record. It's obvious the team's confirming it to these guys off the record. And Cam's tweeting about it or Instagramming about it, whatever the F. But Bill just won't say it on the conference call. Okay, I guess.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, it could be you're about to go play a game in the snow, Bill. How are you going to plan differently? I don't know that we're playing in the snow. I mean, who said that there's any snow out there? There's no snow. I don't know what you're talking about. So I'm going to have to take a pass on that one.
So anyway, it's a small thing. Really doesn't amount to anything, but it's an observation. Back to the phone. Steven Dedham on Cam Newton. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I got a question. So now that they know they don't think Jared Stidham can play, obviously Cam Newton's only here for this year, what the hell are they going to do next year? I mean, do you think they should take a run at Deshaun Watson? Because what are they going to do next year?
I don't know, but that's why I don't like this transition. Unless Cam Newton works and then he signs long-term for below market, this thing, or unless they do nothing and Stidham really is the guy, if they go back in the quarterback market next year, this thing's a fail. This thing's a fail if they have to go back in the quarterback market next year. So Cam Newton better work out and he better be willing to take a discount on a long-term deal, or Jared Stidham better, shake off whatever, happened to him this offseason and be the guy next year. And I do believe, McTakey, that the biggest story here related to this whole thing is Jared Stidham. Even if it was a phony competition, and I agree, it probably was. I think Cam Newton could have come here and flamed out and not worked out and they could have released him. I thought that was definitely on the table. But in terms of a competition, if Newton was healthy and cared, he was going to win it. But they still wanted Stidham to show, right? They still wanted Stidham to compete, be there every day, push it, look better on the practice field, and then take it away from him, whatever. They wanted to see what Stidham was made of, and boy, did he fail. Boy, did he fail. He couldn't even make the fourth practice with a non-contact muscle injury. And then, even the days before that, chucking the ball all over the place with interceptions. So I think the big story of the quarterback competition is, even if it was a phony one, Stidham failed. Big fail.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Mike. I mean, I think going back to the signing of Cam Newton, this has always been a Jared Stidham story all along. And what does that tell you about this player for the future? Okay, Tom Brady leaves. You have an opportunity to be the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots and play under Bill Belichick, and you don't show up. You don't do what you need to do. And now all of a sudden you're going to change the offense. You're going to have to play in a different offense, second year in the league. I don't see a future here with Stidham. I think if they truly felt that Stidham was the guy but just needed a little bit more seasoning, then Brian Hoyer's your starting quarterback. You're not changing the offense. This tells you everything you need to know about how they feel about Jared Stidham. And the problem that I have, Mike, is they spent the whole offseason glowing about the guy. Hell, even before Tom Brady left, how many stories did we have to read about Stid the Kid? How many stories did you read to me, Mike Felger, about Stid the Kid and telling me that the Patriots felt like they had a plan? They told everybody that, and it turns out that that's not the case. That's frustrating to me as a fan.
Oh, something scared him off Stidham. I don't think there's
Absolutely.
Any question about it. Matt in Charleston, who to blame last night on the Celtics? Go.
Oh, boy. Top takey, hooky, felgy. All right. We need Brad to take 100% blame. As soon as I saw Taco in that huddle, I knew it was over. You got to put, if you're going to do that, you put Robert Williams there, who actually has basketball instincts, who might be able to swat it. Taco's just passing it over a lamppost.
So I would have put Williams in for Tice. I don't know. He's absolutely, certainly more athletic, bigger wingspan. But also, and in the same breath I say that, Robert Williams, for all of his, athleticism and, potential, still does get lost defensively. So maybe I don't want him there. You know what? That was a take retraction, but that's about the quickest take retraction I've ever had.
You said it, and it just didn't feel right.
I get it. Like, you say, yeah, put the Lord out there. But if we're honest, half the time the Lord doesn't get switches or where he should be defensively. He's just sort of he's raw there. But be that as it may, Tice may have gone to the wrong spot too. Because clearly there were guys running to the wrong spot. Two guys ran with Van Fleet. Tatum and Tice ran with him. And then Brown was late back to OG, and the rest is history. What a freaking play that was. Unbelievable. Here's Carlton in New Orleans. What do you got on the Celts?
Hey, I just want to talk about how the Celtics, that game last night's not going to have any effect on the series. And I want to talk about how earlier I agreed with you, Felger, when you said that Kyrie was better than Kemba, but Kemba had the intangibles to make the Celtics better. Is there any chance that you've switched on that take and think that Kemba, the way he's played throughout the playoffs, is now the better player than Kyrie?
So I'd rather have Kemba Walker, you know, every day of the week, twice on Sunday. And the difference between me and you people out there is that I said that last year. Okay? So now who's, like, better? I mean, Kyrie's probably better. I mean, he's, you know, but so's James Harden. I don't want him anywhere near my team either. And so is we have this conversation all the time. You know, there's a point where your talent isn't worth it, even in that league where it's all about talent. So, I mean, if Kyrie wasn't an a-hole, if, you know, in other words, put Kemba Walker's heart and head into Kyrie Irving's body, that's probably what you're looking for. You know what I mean? If Kyrie Irving was a better dude or a better teammate, then I'd probably want Kyrie Irving, I think. But I love Kemba Walker. Always have. And I thought he was a badass last night. And even, you know, if his shot, two nights ago, he shot horribly. But that last play, the last play to Tice, that was balls. And I think he's a closer. And he's a tough little competitor. And I think he's, I think he even contributed a little bit defensively. And so I'll take Kemba Walker any day of the week. Here's an update from, who's doing the updates today? McCarthy's doing the updates. Yeah. Hook is the Maz figure in today's program. And your
That's
calls
right, Mike.
Will continue next on Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Who doesn't know Felger and Mass?
Michael Felger, I don't know from a can of paint at all.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brad Stevens not calling timeout yet. Kemba comes across half court, clock rolling with 15 seconds to go. Brad Stevens not going to use the timeout. Tie game, 11 seconds to go. Kemba dribbling right hand to left hand, straight away up top. Here's the ball game. Smart sets the screen. Kemba moving to his right. Has two men come to him. Kemba keeps it alive. Dribbles to the free throw line. Bounce back. Inside to Tice for the two-hand slam with .5 to go. Everyone on the Raptors ran to Kemba. Everyone's eyes were on Kemba. And Daniel Tice was all alone. And Kemba's eyes found him.
Look at the magic trick. You look at this hand. I'm slapping you with this hand. Great pass by Kemba. Found this man on the baseline. You got to guard somebody. Tice with the slam. 5/10 of a second on the clock.
Okay, great play by Kemba Walker there. But I'm still curious about that 5 seconds. The .5. Did anyone answer that question for me?
Yeah, yes, I've got the answer right here.
We have had answers. And, McCarthy actually looked it up in the rule book. Before I let him tell you the answer, I will tell you the glory that is Twitter. As you asked for an answer, I immediately got three tweets that gave me very confident three different answers. McCarthy has it for you.
From official.nba.com, rule number 5, section 5, stoppage of timing devices, part B. The timing devices shall be stopped during the last 2 minutes of regulation play and the last 2 minutes of overtime following a successful field goal attempt. So it's automatic.
And that's it. So they stop it. But if you don't have any timeouts, they what? Reset it when you gather the ball under the hoop? I don't want to go too far with this, but I just think that's half a second. You know, we're talking about if it's .2, they won't even allow you to attempt a shot, right? I know they have certain, you know, rules where if it's point this, we don't allow a catch and shoot. It's only a tip. If it's .1, I don't even know if they allow it, period. Like, so do you know how close that was? And so the guy who stops it, I guess it's not the ref on the floor. There's an official timekeeper there. You know, when does he hit that button, and how long does it take the brain to get it to his finger? I don't mean to, you know, circumcise the mosquito here, but that's how freaking close you were. And if it's just a hair longer, they don't. OG, and I know he's got a last name. I don't want to attempt to pronounce it.
Anunoby.
He's been one of their best players, by the way.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time to catch and shoot. So it's got to be a tip, you know. So I mean, I just think that's a hidden thing. So I wanted to give Nurse credit or someone on Toronto for calling the timeout quickly, but I guess it's automatic. And then this is the last thing I'm going to say because this is going to get annoying. Does it stop when it goes through the net or when it passes the rim, or how's that? Because if we're counting tenths of seconds, doesn't all that sort of add up? Doesn't that all matter?
Sure, it does.
And
where does it have to pass to be an official score? It's got to go through the net,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So net or rim. And this is the problem with replay now, is like, because they're going to start looking at that crap. It's kind of like, you know, what? How do we know when the first baseman has the ball in his glove? Mm-hmm. Is it when it crosses the plane of the webbing, or does it got to be in the palm of his glove, or does it have to just touch the glove, or what? Like, this is one of the problems with sports.
You don't want to go down this road, Mike. I'm going to save you right now. You don't want to go down this road.
If we are, you know what? One more. You tell me. When is the basket officially a basket? When are they supposed to hit it? When it goes through the rim or the net?
What's gotten into you? This is not the Mike Felger I know.
I'll tell you, though, that last play was fascinating. That was freaking awesome. If you weren't, did you guys watch it live?
Yes.
I did, yes.
So, I mean, that's one of those moments. It's like, oh, like you're shouting in your, whether it's your team or not, you're just sort of shouting. Like, I'm surprised I didn't hear that from Grandy or Max. That's the one that's like, oh, the Toronto call. They did it, right, Jimmy? Do you have the Toronto call? Let me hear what it sounded like up in the great white north.
Hang on, let me
if we could, please. Yeah, do.
I will tell you that I was on a Zoom call during the game, and the people watching on the Zoom call actually were ahead of me in time. So I knew that they lost the game before the inbound. But it allowed me, I'm like, well, this is not going to go well, but I'm going to be able to, I don't know how it's not going to go well. So I was able to watch knowing that the gut punch was coming.
All right, here it is.
Anunoby, catch and shoot. The bottom of the well for OG Anunoby. Toronto wins it. OG splashes it home on the cross-court pass from Lowry. OG's three puts Toronto back in the series. They win it 104-103.
That's, I always love it when we get the voice crack.
That's if you're not shouting at the TV there, I'm sorry. Whether you're a Celtic fan or a Raptor fan, we now have two moments since we came back from the apocalypse where it felt like sports and you were out of your chair. And the first was that 3-goal comeback by the Bruins over Carolina in, whatever game that was in that first round where it felt real. Last night was the other one.
That felt like a pre-pandemic kick in the balls.
Exactly. That was in a simpler time when we would consider that adversity last night. Anyway, back to your thoughts. Who do we blame? Brenton Shrewsbury, go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. So I'm like a somewhat conscious green teamer, if that makes sense. Like, I know I'm a green teamer, so sometimes I'm like, calm down, buddy. You're overrating so-and-so or the coach or whatever. But my natural instinct is green teamer, right? Anyway, I love Taco, the whole Taco thing. What Felger spoke of earlier, that feeling in your stomach when you see him out there, right? I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but it seemed like Jaylen Brown, who I think did close out on Anunoby or however you say that, it looked like there was a slight miscommunication that even, I don't know if it was a hole in the zone or what. And my thoughts are, like, keep it simple, stupid. It's stupid simple. Why aren't the starters out there? Didn't they make, like, a nice comeback? Or I remember I was watching the end of the game.
Okay,
starters played well. They should have been out there.
They were all starters except for Taco, right? It was the starting five except for Taco for Kemba Walker, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so, no, the right guys were out there. I think Marcus Smart was calling out the switches, and either Tice, they both went with Van Fleet. And maybe that was the focus. It's like, that's the one guy. Like, that's the first option there. It's him or Lowry.
And Lowry, said Van Fleet was the first option on the play.
Okay, so, maybe they were snuffing it out, and both Tice and Tatum. Because Tatum, and I think this is going to be Gasser's point. I don't want to steal it. But when you go back and look at it, everyone tried to do something except for Tatum. Tatum was the one guy that was just sort of kind of standing around.
The more I've watched the play, I don't want to steal Casper's point, but the more I'm watching this play, I've got it right in front of me, and I'm just watching it on over and over again. And really, Tatum does absolutely nothing during this entire thing. And I get the idea that they were supposed to be playing zone. But at some point, I mean, it's immediate that OG walks away and he kind of points at him. And nobody is anywhere close to him. He's just standing there wide open and nobody is anywhere close to him. And the fact of the matter is Tatum's the guy who watched him walk away.
Well,
Marcus
Smart's yelling at Jaylen Brown to get back in the corner. All right, that's what tells me that's on Jaylen Brown. Sure, is Jason Tatum a little lazy on the play? Yeah, but was he in his zone? Yes. Was Jaylen Brown in his zone? No. And is Marcus Smart yelling at Jaylen Brown to get his ass over back in that corner? Yes, he is. That plays on Jaylen Brown, 100%.
Okay, here's my buddy John. Section 1, scoring of the NBA rulebook. A legal field goal or free throw attempt shall be scored when the ball from the playing area enters the basket from above and remains in or passes through the net.
This is what I said. It's got to go through the net.
Okay, so did you know or were you just guessing?
No, because I think that this came up. Who was the guy that had one that went in the net and bounced back out again, and they called it a field goal? And the whole thing was it didn't, or they thought it did, because the net yeah. bounced back up over the hoop, so they called it not a play because it didn't go through the net. So I think that's when we learned about the net thing.
Next step. Someone go back and look at the Tice dunk and tell me when the ball clears the net, and tell me if 0.5 was the right timage. I'm just curious about that. And I promise, I'm going to stop being annoying about this, but maybe not. Because every answer begets another question, McTakey. That's what I'm doing here.
It's not the road you want to go down, Mike.
No,
I'm just warning
not.
You.
I'm sorry. Long commercial-free segment is next with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
Boston's home for sports. Fill your eyes. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
And sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's just a miscommunication. The coverage that we was in, that's it. That's all it really is. They made a remarkable play at the end. He snuck along the baseline. We just got to communicate better. That's it, as a unit. No, that can't happen. We were matched up, and OG snuck along the baseline, didn't recognize him early enough, and he got a wide open look. We got to be better than that. We got to communicate better. And, just me being, 4 years in, I got to be better. Can't give up a three at the end of the game. They made a remarkable shot still. It's a disgrace. It's terrible. No excuse for it at all. Ridiculous. Can't take your foot off the gas at all. We got to be ready to play game 4.
Okay, Jaylen Brown, there's that anger Hook was talking about. And by the way, Hook, was it you, Hook, who just sent me this picture?
Yes.
So the ball cleared the net with 0.7, which is still pretty good. The clock operator, give him credit. That's pretty close to be that close to it. But anyway, just a remarkable play. Maybe I'm asking those questions to just highlight how close you were. That close to series being over and just sort of now treading water till you get probably Miami all rested and confident and all of that. And is there a chance a loss like that crawls inside your head? You say no, Hook, because of that anger you heard from Jaylen Brown?
Well, at least from Jaylen Brown. I'm not worried about it crawling inside his head, but I don't know if that rest of the team is feeling it the same way that he is. Maybe they are. I hope they are. I hope they're all angry. But And based on nothing, as I wrote in the email string, not that this matters on this program, but based on zero evidence whatsoever, I'm not sure that Jason Tatum is feeling that same way. I mean, Jason Tatum, who I think, when the return to the bubble was coming, seemed rather nonchalant, complacent, whatever happens, happens. I'm not sure that he's feeling the same way. And, listening to that, I hear Brown say he snuck along the baseline. He didn't sneak. He just walked. He was like out for a stroll. Nobody's next to me, so I'm just going to walk along the baseline, turn the corner, and come up here. all while Tatum is watching him. So I don't know. Is he feeling the same way, or does he go, oh, well, whatever. These things happen. So I hope the rest of the team feels like Brown does. I do, because if they do, then I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, Tatum is one to ask that question about. I don't think that's unfair. Anthony in Medford, go ahead. What do you think on Jaylen Brown? Anthony! Okay, babe, call us back. You do know the number. Here is Coley in Cambridge. He's up next on the Celts. Go ahead, Coley.
Hey guys. So as far as losses go, I'll take it, and I think the C's needed it. Like, I'd rather lose this kind of lower stakes game now and wake back up instead of like losing game one of next series or something, and then we're behind. And so I'd rather lose a game on like a miscommunication and realize Taco Fall should not be out there instead of like a game that highlights some major flaw that maybe the Heat or something can use going forward.
Okay, Coley, thanks for the call. That's Maz calling, right? That's Maz's take. You want this loss. I don't want this loss because I don't want to give Toronto a sniff. Because, look, you're better than Toronto. You should beat Toronto. But I think we do have to admit, Toronto's got some sack. You know, I don't think they've got a ton of talent, and they can't match, you know, your shooting or your offensive talent. But they got a little something. They got an intangible there. And it wasn't just Kawhi Leonard. They got it. And so now you've given them life. And I don't want to screw around with that. No, I would have taken the win last night if I could have gotten it. I'm sorry. I would have. The positive way to look at it, though, is think of what Toronto had to do there to beat you.
Sure.
I mean, they finally started to shoot. You know, that's something to be concerned about, too. Van Fleet and those guys started to hit. And Lowry, I think, really sort of had the ass from the opening jump. Or I think he was really assertive. And so their backcourt has woken up. And they're starting to hit their three. And that's something to watch going forward. But, I mean, just think of all that it took for Toronto to beat you. Can they do that four more times? I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
I don't think so either, Mike. But to your point, I mean, they do have that experience. And Lowry waking up is a big deal in this series. All right, he was hobbled to begin the series. That guy's got balls, Mike. Like, that guy's a player right there. And he's the type of player that can change the outcome of a series. I don't think Toronto is good enough to do it three more times, but Lowry waking up should concern you as a Celtics fan. So, and the fact that, you know, listen, you could have been up 3-0 and then the bubble factor becomes real. Like, to say that this isn't a bad loss for the Celtics, come on, really? Like, to go up 3-0, that team would have quit. Any team that falls down 3-0, 3-1 in the series is probably going to quit because they're 24 hours away from going home. Like, that one stung last night. It did. I still think they win the series, but it stung. And and I don't want to hear this crap about, oh, it's a good loss. No, it's not.
Stop.
No,
it's
come on.
Loss.
Come on, Maz. Are you on crack? Like, what is this?
Gut punch loss. And it lets them back in, not only because of the pure math of the difference between being up 3-0 and being up 2-1, but it gives them energy in life. Like, the opposite of a gut punch loss is whatever, a gut exploding win. You know, suddenly they have energy and excitement and hope and all of this stuff that Toronto would not have had if things had gone differently in the last half second.
Okay, so it's clearly a gut punch loss. Like, could stop with this. Like, good loss. No. Bad loss. But sometimes that can help. I do believe that. Like, I do believe sometimes you can get put back on track or set straight or motivated by a bad loss. Just don't call it anything other than it is. That's a bad gut punch loss that shouldn't have happened. And so, you know, the question is, does it make it better or worse? And you could go either way on that. You still should win this series. I'm not coming off of that. But it did get interesting. We'll continue with your calls on that. I do want to hit on some Bruins stuff. We left it to the side yesterday. Torrey Krug declaring his intentions. Zdeno Chara declaring his intentions. What should the Bruins do with those two players and going forward? And my biggest second guess left over from Bruce Cassidy and the organization from their Toronto bubble. We'll do that all in 90 seconds. First, an update here from McCarthy, and then we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.